The Why Golf podcast is brought to you by Skyscanner, the ultimate travel hack that searches billions of prices on flights, hotels, and cars so you can feel confident you'll always find an amazing deal. Welcome to Why Golf. I am here at the AIG Women's Open presenting for the radio. I've also brought my Why Golf microphone with me. And this week I've caught up with a guy from one of the biggest golfing podcasts there is, Big Randy from the No Laying Up podcast. Here is our chat. Hope you enjoy. It is the weekend of the AIG Women's Open up here at the Home of Golf in St Andrews. I'm here with Randy from the No Laying Up podcast. My goodness, Randy, you are difficult to get hold of. <laughs> You are working with us, so we finally grabbed you.
Don't give people the wrong impression. Oh. Di, I always have time for you. It's wonderful to be out here again at the AIG Women's Open. Last year was our first year, and what better place at the Home of Golf here in St Andrews?
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. Now, your other half, possibly, Cody, he's going to hopefully join us later on the podcast, but great to have you here this morning. You've been working with us, doing radio. My goodness, we're like a little family, aren't we? Are you enjoying it?
Yes.
The boss is just there, so say the right thing.
It truly is like a family. I think we met you, I'll go back to last year, we didn't know anybody, we had agreed to do some radio, and you guys are the funniest, most welcoming bunch of people, if you'll allow
me. I know,
me.
I'm hilarious.
Truly. Yeah. And you guys made us feel so comfortable. You don't take yourself seriously. You know your golf. It just was the most wonderful experience. And Cody and I, leaving Walton Heath last year, said, we have to do that again. Aww. And so it's really been the highlight of our year. We've been looking forward to this week. And that's in large part due to the people that you guys have.
Do you know, in any walk of life, whatever you're doing, surround yourself with people that inspire you and lift you up. And you guys have been brilliant. You've slotted right in and your knowledge is incredible. We love having you here and walking the fairways. The last couple of days, I mean, it's been pretty brutal, hasn't it, in terms of wind?
It has.
You've flown in from, where do you live in the States?
I live in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
And very hot summer right now, 90 degrees Fahrenheit, I guess. Yeah, I don't quite know what that would be Celsius. Yeah, maybe around 30.
Yeah, is that right?
Ish.
About 32.
Yeah, so very hot. And so coming to St. Andrews, it's honestly really nice to put on some layers, to feel a bit of chill.
Yeah.
Have a little relief from that heat, but we're getting all four seasons. It's a little sprinkly even right now.
Yeah, it is.
You just never quite know what you're going to get out here. It's part of the fun.
It certainly is. Welcome to Bonnie Scotland.
Exactly.
That's what we say. Now, you have been working in the industry for a long time now. This started as a bit of a hobby, didn't it? This podcast, No Laying Up podcast, which is now massive. I see people walking around the course with No Laying Up the jumpers on and all the attire. You've really gone from strength to strength.
It's really an incredible journey. It absolutely started as just a passion hobby. Myself and a couple friends knew each other from university, and we love golf. Golf was the connecting force that really kept us in touch and talking regularly once we had graduated. And what started as a Twitter account grew into a little website, grew into, hey, we should make up some shirts and maybe, you know, maybe our family would buy, or at least we want to wear it.
Great.
And then that turned into, hey, why don't we start a podcast? And so over about, I'd say, a 5-6 year span, we had real jobs, but we just really enjoyed talking about golf.
What was your real job?
Well, I was a
real job. You've got a real
job
now.
We always put it in quotes, yeah. Right?
An office, yeah. Behind a desk.
So I studied accounting in college. And
I could do with some help.
Yeah. And so I went into public accounting in the States. And actually, one
of
my partners,
clever.
Chris, was the same way. Our partner, Tron, was working in the hotel space. And so we were doing that. And I think really one of the big keys to our success today is we didn't start No Laying Up with the idea that it had to be a moneymaker or it had to be our job.
Yeah.
And so it allowed us to have fun. It took the pressure off of us. We could do what we wanted to. Nobody was telling us what we needed to do. And I think that's what helped eventually attract people and build a community. And then a few years on, about 6 years ago in 2018, we thought, hey, this could be a job. This could be a full-time opportunity for us. And if we don't do it now, we're never going to do it.
That's a brave move.
Yes, and it took a lot.
I'm handing in my notice to the accountancy department.
Talk to wives, girlfriends, parents, like, hey, I'm going to quit my job and we're going to give this a go. And it's the best thing we've done. And we're 6 years on. Sometimes I wake up every day and I'm like, do we get to do it another day?
Oh.
That's a success. We're
amazing.
Very fortunate.
Do you know, but whatever you're doing, if you've got that passion and that drive and it comes naturally, then there's the success element is always behind it.
I think people pick up on that.
Yeah.
They can sense your underlying passion, your enthusiasm, and I hope that's what was a big part of why people enjoyed what we did.
Totally.
And still do, I should say.
Well, you're absolutely brilliant. It's a bit like Charlie Hull because she has such a passion and desire to go to the gym and to train and to be out on the golf course and to hit balls, shell balls on the range day and day again. So, yeah, and that really shines through. Now, tell our viewers a little bit, because you've been around the women's game for a long time now and seen everything. What are the challenges facing the women's game right now? Where are we with it?
Well, we're definitely in a very exciting period. I think you say we've been in it a long time. I feel like we're still relatively new to the game. I feel that way myself. But I will say, I think as we got into the full-time nature of No Laying Up, it became apparent that, hey, we're spending a lot of time and energy covering the men's game.
Yeah.
But there's this whole other side of professional golf that's just as wonderful with stories and characters and venues and people. And so it just made sense to kind of treat the women's game like we do the men's game. And from a business standpoint, it makes sense too, right?
Yeah.
If you're doing all this over here, well, all of a sudden you have all these new opportunities over on this side.
How much have you seen the women's game grow the length of time you've been involved?
And so I think just anecdotally, what we set out with our coverage of the women's game, if you will, was, like we try to do with anything, let's cover it in an authentic manner. Let's be ourselves. And hopefully that's enough to kind of bring people to the game and get them interested. And I think anecdotally, one of the most rewarding things is just hearing from folks, hey, you know, you guys helped me. I tuned into this tournament, or I went out to a tournament near me. And it's awesome when they can bring a young son, a young daughter, a friend.
Yeah.
And by and large, they have a wonderful time, because I do think in the women's game, I will say, it's a much more approachable environment.
Yes.
And we noticed that on the business side too. I think by nature of, obviously they're a little smaller, they're eager for media and eyeballs, and so there's a sense of, how can we help you? What do you guys want to do this week? How can we help you do that? And you don't quite get that on the men's side. And so in my position, it's really refreshing to come to a tournament and know, like, hey, they really are excited that we're here, and they're eager to help us. And so I think that helps run through our content and produce better content. And again, with the end goal of, I just want to get people excited, and I want to open their eyes and
say, this is incredible, basically.
Somebody like Charlie Hall, it probably becomes somebody's favorite golfer.
Yeah.
And then they start following her and they're tuning in more regularly. And I hope, you know, we just play a very small part in hopefully the rise of women's golf as a whole.
Well, it's fab, because the exposure that you're putting out there creates more eyeballs, as you say, on it. And, you know, we're trying to spread the word with AIG Women's Open Radio, and we're available on a variety of different sort of broadcasting stations and outlets. And, you know, I've been getting texts saying, been listening, and I've just booked a lesson to go and play golf again, because I used to play it 10 years ago, but slightly intimidated. Now I'm back.
Yeah.
Oh, my daughter's outside. She's got her plastic clubs and she's hitting golf balls. We've seen a bit on the telly. It's all about exposure and getting eyeballs out there. If you can see heroes, then you can be them, can't you?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Isn't that, like, that's...
It's amazing. It makes
awesome.
You feel, it makes you feel like you're doing something positive in the world.
Exactly.
Because the mental health side of the game, I mean, what have you witnessed over the years and seen in terms of people getting out there amongst nature and, you know, changing their mindset slightly?
Oh, I think, you know, whether you're playing personally for yourself, just being able, as you said, get out away from that screen, that computer, that, you know, if you've been inside all day, to be able to get outside, get the fresh air. Ideally, you're walking, right? We have a buggy problem in the United States. A lot of people like to take carts when they play.
Yes. You know what?
I wish more people would walk.
Totally. I was working here many years ago, Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, and Samuel L. Jackson was playing, and it was quite a long round, and he said, I really miss my cart. Yeah. And I was like, no, you want to walk the old course.
Well, and the beauty of courses over here, especially Scotland, especially the old course, they are meant to be walked, and they are easily walked. A lot of courses in the States, you know, you do have to take a cart, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful...
But you still get the a lot of exercise getting in the cart, getting out of the cart, if you're spraying it left, right, and center.
And you can play by yourself. If you seek quiet and solitude, that can be really recharging. And it's obviously a social game, too, and you can get out with friends and you can meet new people if you show up and you're paired with, you know, some random people. I think at the end of the round, maybe you've made a new friend, or at least you've talked to people and you know, you just share life experiences.
Yeah.
And I struggle to think of a sport. You know, I just turned 40, Dive.
You play a lot of golf.
Well, and I grew up loving basketball, but you can't just keep playing basketball as you did. I wish I could, but my body just doesn't allow
the knees.
But truly, golf is that lifelong sport, that lifelong activity, that lifelong pursuit, and I think that's part of what makes it so special as well.
Yeah, you would have been a good basketball player. How tall are you?
It's 6'8", which, I don't know...
So, no, 6'8". We sort of go in those metrics.
Oh, okay. You guys always confuse me because you do use miles per hour. But
yes.
Yeah,
I
never quite know.
We use 6'8", and I'm not very good with kilometers. I do everything in miles.
But then you go Celsius. You guys just like
Celsius.
To keep,
I can't do the Fahrenheit.
You guys just like to keep us on our toes.
Yeah. Well, I like to say schedule as well, and I think you say... Schedule. Anyway, we could go down this route with tomatoes as well, but we're not going to. Tell us about, the women's game. What can the men's game, possibly learn from the women's game, and what's going on? That you talked about the fact that the players, they want to tell their stories possibly a bit more. There's more connection with the girls out here.
Yeah, I just think... my perception, I guess I'll just speak my perception because I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush. But by and large, I think if you go to an LPGA event, and again, if you bring a child or you go yourself, you'll find the LPGA players very eager and willing to interact. They'll sign autographs. You know, they toss golf balls. And that happens on the men's side.
Yeah,
but
it does,
I just don't think, by and large, there's as much of a... I struggle to call it like a welcoming spirit, but me personally, a lot of the PGA Tour events I go to, you just kind of feel like you're walking on eggshells,
it's a slightly different
you're
feeling,
kind of,
isn't it?
A little anxious and stressed, and you don't want to be in the wrong spot, and you don't want to. And I think out here, it's just you can relax, and I feel like people just. Can have a bit more fun.
That makes a lot of sense. And we're not, there are so many PGA Tour players and DP World Tour players who are so accommodating with the press. And
there are. So again, that's where I'm like, I don't want to.
I know what you're saying, though, in terms of the feeling of that. It feels a little bit more amenable, accessible.
But accessible is a great word.
Accessible. Yes. I think that's where we go with it. But here, from what you've seen, and St. Andrews and the setup, and this festival village, and what they're trying to do, how impressed are you?
So I think one of the most important things that can happen on the women's professional side is to make their biggest events feel like very big deals.
Yeah.
And I'll just go back to you guys being here and there being radio available, wall-to-wall coverage. That helps elevate this event. And so people feel like it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And when they feel like it's a big deal, it gets them more excited and it gets them more interested. And I think this fan village goes hand in hand with that. It's a really impressive build out. Golf bays, you can go grab a quick lesson. Obviously, all the food vendors, they run a wonderful stage session. There's going to be a great concert tonight.
Yeah.
Again, it just, for people coming, it feels like a big deal. And I think that just drives excitement and interest. And I think it leaves people, you know what, that was a lot of fun. Let's go next year. Let's go next time it's in my area.
Randy, you honestly add so much value to the game, and Cody as well. You research till midnight, till 2 a.m. in the morning. You missed our team dinner last night because you were studying once again. But what is your little unit like? And you've got Jordan now on board.
Yeah, so this week, as you said, Cody McBride, Jordan Perez are here with me. We have a team of three. And from our perspective, I guess I'll go back and say, you know, how radio and the fan village helps elevate this event. We're trying to do the same thing with what we do normally for the biggest events in golf. And that's, you know, putting out a preview podcast which, to your point, was kind of a deep dive history of this Women's Open Championship going back to its start. We do live shows, live podcasts. That's what we were doing Friday night. We'll do one Sunday at the conclusion of play. We did a little Wednesday. We call it a Wednesday happy hour where we check in, we make our final predictions. And so, yeah, from how we treat the biggest events of golf, that's what we're trying to do this week.
Great.
And so Jordan, Cody, myself, they're long days. We were just having this conversation last night. They're very long days. But it's so fulfilling, I think, just personally and professionally to be here and to be able to do this. And Cody and I were saying, that's the way it should be. It should be long. You should feel tired. It should, you know, not difficult, but it should take a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it rewarding for us.
Well, it's great content. And how many people are listening to you and watching you around the world? You could actually make up a figure because I don't know.
A billion?
A billion. Possibly 2 billion. You are global.
We are very fortunate. Our audience is bigger than I would have ever imagined. Sometimes when I do stop to think about it.
Honestly, I
don't
want
to think how many people are listening to my voice because all I would do is start fumbling and
tripping. Oh, no, you've got a great tone, great articulation.
I like to think there's like a dozen people listening. That's how I, you know.
Stop. Millions. You've been stopped around the Festival Village so many times.
And we very much appreciate our entire audience.
And Randy, you're going to be at the Solheim Cup this year. Yes. In a couple of weeks' time. You were at the Solheim Cup last year at Finca Courtesan. How excited are you? And what can the LPGA learn from last year?
So the Solheim Cup's been so much fun to attend. My very first one was 2021 back in Toledo, Ohio. And then we had such a fun experience there. We definitely wanted to go to Spain last year. We wanted to see that, for us, that foreign event on foreign soil. I had never been to Spain before. The golf course at Finca Courtesan, was a workout just getting around there.
It was really hard.
So I think that the first thing that I hope the people in Virginia are learning is, hey, let's make it a little easier for fans and everybody else to kind of navigate the golf course.
Yeah.
But I just, like the other biggest events, like this event here at the Open, I sense the Solheim Cup they're adding gasoline to the fire. They're trying to make it bigger and draw in more people. And I really hope that this year in Virginia, you'll see great crowds. You know, we're a few years past COVID, which had affected some of the earlier iterations.
Yeah.
And I hope there's a mix between a lot of passionate European fans that have made the trip and are cheering loudly. They're so much fun. And then you have a lot of American fans. And what I really like right now in the Solheim Cup is Team Europe they have held the cup since 2017. Making the Americans the underdog.
That,
So if there's one thing Americans really love, it's kind of being the underdog.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so I think you're going to get a lot of passion. That American team is going to be super motivated to play well. And I think it's going to be a wonderful event here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, simply, we can't wait. And it was so great to have you at Walton Heath last year. And again, here at St. Andrews, we spoke a little bit about Walton Heath. Brilliant experience. And I just feel that this place, I mean, it's going from strength to strength, isn't it? But I want to know, Randy, what you take. What's the item in your suitcase that you take when you travel abroad that you can't leave the house without?
Okay.
Mine's a hairbrush. Because I tried to find it this morning and I couldn't find it anywhere. It took me 10 minutes anyway. What's yours?
So just as you're asking that question, I haven't thought about this in a while. I mean, I need my necessities, my toothbrush,
yes.
my deodorant, of
yeah.
course, all of that.
You know what I always
pack, even though on like our work trips, I never really get a chance just because we're busy.
Yeah.
But on the flights, my favorite thing to do is read a good book. You can kind of put away the screens.
Oh,
so I love
totally.
To have a book with me so I know, hey, if I ever do get an hour or if I ever need to kind of recharge the batteries, I can dive into a good book.
Oh, I love that. So. Do you know what, actually? I was watching an interview with Sarah Jessica Parker this morning, and she always carries a book with her around New York. She's one of 8 children,
it's
like her friend.
Blanket. It's kind of a comfort blanket a little bit.
I love that, and that's a great message to all the youngsters
so,
watching as well.
Yeah, reading's
good.
But you
good. Can dive
yeah.
into another world. It's fascinating. And finally, Randy, what is your why golf? Why are you involved in it? What's your handicap, by the way?
I am currently about an 8 handicap.
Great.
So I'm kind of stuck there.
6'8" of 8.
Yeah. I feel like I'll probably always be an 8 handicap.
Useful.
Why golf? I think a lot about this. I It's a game I fell in love with because it always was a type of escape for me. And going back to the earlier part of our conversation, I played competitively. I grew up playing basketball and what we call soccer and baseball. I never played competitive golf. And so it was always just an outlet for me to test myself, challenge myself, but on my own terms. And it became that it can be a sanctuary. I love going out and walking around by myself sometimes. Yeah. It's a social thing, my friends who play. And so I think why golf is it's a game you'll never master. It's endlessly frustrating, but I kind of like that about it.
Because
it always lets me know where I stand. I love counting all the strokes and trying to play serious when I do play, because there's something about just knowing that score and being able, okay, this was how good I am today.
Totally.
And maybe tomorrow I'll be better.
Yeah, and as an accountant, the side of things.
I have not connected that, but it has to be
that's
the accounting part of me.
Definitely. Yeah. I used to love maths at school, and that's why I love like scorecard, all the yardages and the yardage books. Yeah,
exactly.
It's brilliant. Randy, thank you so much. Are you any good at dancing?
No, terrible.
Are we going to see it later with
Six
Tom Brennan?
6'8" with long limbs.
Well, I don't know
if anybody needs
really
to see
like
that.
You don't really look like a dancer. Yeah. But you could have had a secret talent. I was going to ask you to dance, but now I'm not. You've been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Doug.
And can you go to work now?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, thanks. Please. Okay, off you go. I'll take Mike. Thanks, Randy. See you shortly.
This episode of Why Golf is brought to you by Skyscanner, the ultimate travel hack that searches billions of prices on flights, hotels, and rental cars, so you can feel confident you'll always find an amazing deal. Now, I end up traveling around the world quite a bit for golf, whether that's leisure to play at that special course or when I'm working, but travel planning can feel overwhelming and pretty stressful. There are so many options for flights, hotels, and cars. Which one is best for me? What is a great deal? Am I missing out on a great option? Right, okay, breathe. This is where Skyscanner comes in, making everything simple and easy. Skyscanner has been helping travellers for over 20 years, and because they are fellow travellers, they never pressure you to book or manipulate prices. And tools like Explore Everywhere or the new Savvy Search AI feature help you explore and find that perfect trip when you don't know where you want to go. I used them recently when I was looking to book a trip to Germany and was amazed with how quick and easy it was. I went to skyscanner.net, searched for my dates and airports, and found exactly what I was looking for with times and prices. And it was also easy to add hotel and car options to my trip too. So when you're booking your next adventure, whether that be to Augusta or Abu Dhabi, St Andrews or Spain, just head to skyscanner.net or download the Skyscanner app to start building your next dream trip away. Amazing deals for flights, hotels and car hire all in one place with one simple search. Skyscanner, proud partner of the Why Golf podcast.
Hello, Why Golf listeners. Emma Saunders here. If you're enjoying the latest episode, then you should also check out On Tour with Sport 24. Each week, I'm joined by my trusty TikToking traveling companion, Rob Adcock, as we explore sporting cities across the world. So whether you're looking for the best way to enjoy the Las Vegas Grand Prix, make the most of your day at Wimbledon, or find out about the history of some of the world's biggest football clubs like Real Madrid, this is the podcast for you. So listen to On Tour with Sport 24 via your favourite podcast provider.
I cannot tell you how great it was to catch up with Randy from No Laying Up. And we'll speak to him again when we head out to the Solheim Cup in a couple of weeks' time. As I mentioned earlier, one of the main reasons I was at the AIG Women's Open was to host the coverage of the championship on AIG Women's Open Radio. We had so many interesting guests on our radio show, and I wanted to share some of them with you. They included Kate Davey, who is trainer to the likes of Charlie Hull and Georgia Hall. She joined me and Randy's No Laying Up colleague Cody in the studio to give us an insight into what it's like working with two of the best golfers in the world.
We often train separately because they do have slightly different goals. But there has been a couple of occasions where they've messaged and said, can we both come in today? And you can see, I think possibly I might see more competitiveness in the gym on Charlie's face. So if George is doing something and you can sort of almost see Charlie wants to be there.
Right.
But, you know, she's a sportswoman. And
yep.
that's Yeah. That's part of it. We're all competitive, and I think it translates, even if you're not doing golf, into other things. You're always going to be competitive. Mm. Charlie likes to push herself quite hard before a round or after a round, and that's not the case for all of them.
So that is really fascinating.
It's very rare to see.
I think most
people's Monday or Tuesday workouts are what Charlie is doing post round. Usually, you know, it's very motivating. I'll say this, because you mentioned you deal, you know, how do you adjust? I guess I don't want to call it load management, but you also have to be aware, for Charlie, she's playing in final rounds in the final groups, and after extremely long weeks, and I'm sure she wants to go out there and get that release and get the endorphins up and feel great from workouts and everything else. But you also have to be worried about fatigue and everything else. So how do you balance it all with them?
So with Charlie, we do, when I was giving her workouts when I wasn't with her last week, I just reduced the weights down, things like that. And she is actually very sensible when it comes to, she'll message me in the morning maybe and say, what am I doing later? We'll discuss what she's doing later. And I will always say, but let's just discuss after your round, see how you feel. And she is very mindful that sometimes after a few rounds last week, she messaged me and she said, I'm absolutely battered from that wind that she was walking in. And I said, just do some stretches, take a rest, we'll regroup tomorrow. And she, you know, she'll listen and she does that. But sometimes we don't decide that until after a round, because she doesn't know how she's going to feel.
Charlie Hull and Georgia Hall's trainer Kate Davey there. Next up, I wanted to share with you some of the chat between TV presenter Dan Walker and his Strictly Pro partner Nadia Bishkova. They popped in to see us at AIG Women's Open Radio and told us all about their golfing journeys.
Nadia taught me how to golf, how to dance. Nadia taught me how to dance. And she has always wanted to be a golfer, but never had the opportunity or sort of, how do I get into it? So I said, here's the deal, you teach me to dance, and when we've finished, I'll try and get you into golf. And as you can see from the outfit she's got on, she is into golf in a big way.
It always was one of the top three things I really want to learn. I never did anything apart from dancing, honestly. I didn't play any other sport. It was dancing all my life, very focused in that. And then obviously slowly I stopped competing. I started doing Strictly, and then I was like, okay, maybe I can find time. And golf was one of the priorities I really wanted to learn, but it's how you get into it. I mean, I'm from Ukraine. We don't really, that was never popular when I was growing up, when in this country it's one of the things everyone is doing. And then because of Dan and the way I used golf, just from watching like how people play, how they use the ground, how they use the weight, I was teaching him dancing, and he was like, oh, that's very similar. I was like, so maybe will be able to learn something and start trying to play golf. And honestly, as I started taking lessons and just going on the golf course, I fell in love with this game. And no, I'm not good, not yet, but I am very determined, and everything I do, I like to do it good.
All dancers are really aware of where parts of their body are. So I remember her first lesson, the guy who taught, a brilliant guy called Ben, he rang me up afterwards and went, normal golfers aren't like that after one lesson, because he said to her, rather than get your hands here, just push them back here about 6 inches. And she just automatically knew where that position was, because she's aware of where her arms and legs are at all times. So she will be amazing. She's already good. She's doing herself down there. I mean, she's had lessons from Iona Stephen as well. So, okay. You know, Iona's like her personal coach.
I'm really loving it. I'm really enjoying it. And just to be able nowadays to take time and, I don't know, to take those few hours for yourself. What I love about golf, that I'm not allowed to think about anything else. I really need to focus just on that ball, because otherwise I'm going to miss it.
Dan and Nadia were so much fun. Now, finally, I just wanted to share some really powerful words from Rick Shields, a golf YouTuber. He joined us in the AIG Women's Open Radio studio to explain what the sport means to him.
I've loved it here, but for reasons maybe you wouldn't be surprised, you'd be a little bit surprised about, I've not watched a great deal of golf. I'll tell you why, because I'm here with my wife and my three children, and it's one of their first ever golf tournaments they've been to, and they are loving it. And I'm almost seeing a golf event very differently this week through the eyes of my children. And they've been inspired, they've been motivated, wonderful shot there. They've been inspired, they've been motivated, and I've never been more proud of golf, if I'm honest, and women's golf. Like, it's really inspiring my two daughters and my little boy to dress like golfers today. They've been doing practice swings here, then everywhere. They've just thoroughly loved the experience. I want my kids to enjoy playing golf. And my experience so far is when I've taken them to the driving range, when they're at the peak of excitement, when they're loving it the most and they're like, Dad, this is the best thing ever, I try and close the session then. So, I take the golf balls away and go, right, guys, we've got to go. And they're like, no, I don't want to go. And it really fuels that anticipation for coming back the next time. I've seen it too many times, again, when I coached full time and a kid at the driving range who had been there for an hour and a half being forced by mum or dad, and they wanted to be anywhere else but the driving range. So I've really tried to keep that ethos with my children. As soon as they're enjoying it the most, that's when we try and end the session and come back another day.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Why Golf from the AIG Women's Open. Make sure you hit subscribe on your favourite podcast provider and check out all of our content on Instagram and YouTube. We will see you soon.